Thank you. Well, thanks for leading us in worship, and God's people get to sing together and put His living word to melody and music and express ourselves. I'm so thankful. Well, grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours this day from our Father and from our self-giving Savior, Jesus. Amen. Good morning, St. Luke's. And welcome to each of you. If this is your first time, some of you are like hiding behind the podium today. It's cool. Or if you're a brand new member today, your first Sunday is an official member of St. Luke's, or if you're just here every Sunday, I love it. I'm glad we're here together. My name is Pastor Dan, and today we're kicking off a four-week teaching series called We Give. In grateful response to what God graciously gives to us, we give. We give to God as an act of worship. We give to grow in our own faith. We give for the church so that people who are in Christ would be sustained and supported in their pilgrimage of faith. We give for others so that people who woke up this morning not knowing Jesus would have an opportunity to hear and believe and receive all the works that Christ has done for them. One of the ways we give is with our finances. 4 weeks from this morning, we're going to have a time in our worship service where you can bring this yellow card down, and the platform will be down, it'll be lower. 4 weeks from now, we'll have a spot where you can bring down forward this yellow cardstock card and make a financial commitment for the next calendar year for 2019. And we're doing this for two reasons, at least a couple reasons. One is, as a church, we want to be good stewards. So as pastor here at St. Luke's, I'm committed to not operating in the red. We're gonna be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. At the same time, our goal is to not just make a big bank account and have lots of comfort. We've got ministry to do. There's work to do. God has given us literally a life or death mission to accomplish in this world. And so we're trying to navigate that. We want to go full speed ahead, but we want to be responsible. And so having a sense of here's where God's people say we're going to support the mission in this way allows us to be responsible. And the second reason we're doing this is to give you an occasion to pause and reflect. To give you a moment over the next 4 weeks to consider your relationship with God and what it looks like to live out that faith in a very concrete, rubber meets the road sort of way. And so to that end, I want to encourage you to take this home. If you didn't get a news and notes on the way in, grab one on the way out, that trifold white folder, and these are stuffed in there. If you didn't get one, grab one on the way out and take it home with you today. And put it somewhere where you're going to see it for the next 4 weeks. Mine's on my kitchen table. If you come over today, it's right on the kitchen table. Put it on your kitchen table. Put it on the fridge with a magnet. You can put it like in your keyboard. You know that like little slot by the function keys? You can probably like slide it in there. You can put it in front of your TV so that as you're cheering on the Seahawks, you're reminded, oh yeah, there's other important things in the world too. But honestly, I know pastors and church people say this all the time and prayerfully consider. Usually it's just a cliche phrase. But I want you to both pray and consider. I want you to be deliberate and to think responsibly as an individual or a family. How has God blessed us and what does it look like to support this church? And at the same time, I want you to pray. To really ask God, Lord, how would you have me walk in faith in this next year? And then to take the time and to fill out this commitment card as an act of worship. And so it might be that your commitment for next year is going to be identical to what you've given for the past 10 years. It doesn't change a dime. That's fine. But make that choice on purpose and fill this out as an act of worship and bring it forward in 4 weeks. It might be that your circumstances have changed in the last few weeks or months. And next year, you're going to give far less than you gave last year. Great. Fine. Make that choice on purpose, though. And make it a deliberate act of worship. Fill this out and bring it forward in 4 weeks. It might be that your circumstances have changed and you're able to give considerably more next year. Great, fine. Make that a conscious choice. Fill out the card as a deliberate act of worship and bring that forward in 4 weeks as we, as a congregation, walk together to be faithful with what God has entrusted to us. So one of the ways that we give to God is with money and finances, but that's not narrowly what this series is about for the next 4 weeks. We give to God in a variety of ways. And what sums it up for me, it's not money, it's not finances, but I think we give to God plastic donuts. That's how we give to God. We give to God plastic donuts. And you know these plastic donuts, they're usually pink, like bright pink, and they've got large sprinkles on them, and they're in this drawer or cubby or bin right next to the plastic avocado and the tea set and the plastic forks and knives. You know those kitchen sets that little kids have? We bought one of these for Alexis a few years ago. It was our first Craigslist transaction. Middle of a Target parking lot, like, give me the playset, you know, give me the kitchen, I'll give you the cash. It was a very tense handoff. But we bought this plastic kitchen. And it's got the plastic little refrigerator door, and it's got the little plastic oven, and it's got the, like, always yellow, it seems like, faded plates, and it's got the plastic pineapple that Velcros apart in three pieces, and it's got the plastic fruits and veggies, and it's got these plastic donuts, bright pink with giant sprinkles on them. So you can imagine a little girl playing in her brand new plastic kitchen, and she's got this apron that she doesn't know how to tie, so it's just kind of, you know, dangled and draping on her, and she's in her new kitchen doing her kitchen thing, and dad's working from home. He wants to be at home, he wants to play with his kids, but every now and then there's work to do even when you're home. And so dad's at the office and he's at his computer and he's kind of diligently working away while she's playing in her kitchen. So dad's at the desk, little girl's in the kitchen, and she's busy baking. Right, she's got that apron kind of loosely hanging in the wind, and she's got her bowl, and she's mixing in all the pretend ingredients, which usually means like the salt and pepper shaker. And so she's mixing in ingredients, and she'll throw in like half of the corn cob or, you know, half of the avocado and these Velcro things, just whatever she's got handy, and she's mixing in the ingredients, and she's stirring it, and she preheats the pretend oven for about 2 seconds, ding! And then she opens the little drawer and she slides in the bowl and it bakes for about half a second, ding! And she takes it out and she puts onto this yellow faded plate this bright pink mass-produced made-in-China plastic donut that her daddy bought for her. And she's got this pastry on a plate and she's so proud. And she wants to take it to her daddy. So she takes that pastry on the plate to her daddy as he's working. And dad looks up and says, oh, thanks. And he puts it on the desk and kind of goes back to work, but she's still there. You know? Like, it's not going to get off that easy. Then dad realizes, okay, this is how we're doing. All right. She wants to know what he thinks of it. So what dad does, as all good dads know how to do, as he takes that pretend bite, and with his response, he wants to show his little girl not just how much he likes her donut, but with his response, he wants to show his little girl how much he loves her. So he takes that bite. This is amazing. Where did you buy this? You did not make this. Did mommy help you? You made it? I love it. And at this point, her face beams and she takes off. Right? Now, dad knows where this is going. He can just stop whatever work he was doing. Because she runs back to the kitchen and she throws in half an onion and half a cucumber and, you know, miscellaneous stuff and more salt and pepper, and she bakes it, ding, and she comes back with another pastry on a plate. What's he going to think about this one? Now dad's not going to give it away as easily this time. He's going to be a little more discerning with his palate. And, you know, he's going to kind of maybe inspect it a little bit more, maybe take a smaller bite, kind of hold in his emotions for a little bit. I love it. This one's even better than the last one. And then she's off again, and she's baking, and she's running, and there goes dad's afternoon. In case you've never been a part of this song and dance before, having tasted many pretend pastries, they're not that good. They taste stale. They taste like the 20 kids we've had over to our house and everything they've touched in the last week. And so as Dad emphatically shows his little girl how much he's enjoying this donut, his sounds of enjoyment are pretend. But the joy is real. His sounds are pretend, but the joy is real. The delight in that moment is true. Now he, to be clear, he bought the kitchen for her. He gave a gift to her. He wanted to make his little girl happy. But when she received that, she wanted to share. And when she shared, her daddy's face lit up. And when his face lit up, it made her face light up. And when her face lit up, it made daddy's face light up. And when daddy's face lit up, it made her face light up. And round and round it goes in this joyful cycle of giving and receiving in the context of a loving relationship. It's not about the plastic donut. It's about giving and receiving in the context of a loving relationship. In much the same way, we receive from and we give to God in the context of a loving relationship. We give to God plastic donuts. Because God's got everything. Psalm 50 makes it clear. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's got the whole world in his hands. Everything is already his. And so in the Old Testament, God didn't need the people of Israel to make sacrifices of bulls and goats and rams and lambs and sheep because God was hungry. It's not as if God lacked something that they had to provide for him. And as a matter of fact, in Psalm 50, it says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I'm the opposite. If I'm hungry, I tell everybody. Like, can we get some snacks in here? But God says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I don't need you. I can make my own snacks. God doesn't need the people of Israel to provide livestock for him. He's God at all. He says, every beast of the field and every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Picture 1,000 hills with grazing cattle on them. God says, I've got enough cows. I don't need what you're bringing to me. I've got everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's already his, all of it. But out of God's abundance, he gives good gifts to his children. And even though God's the one who gave the good gifts, and even though God doesn't need anything that people could possibly offer, he genuinely delights to receive good gifts from his kids. It actually gives him joy. You see, God the Father is the creator of all things. He provides for all of our needs in this body and life, house and home and land and animals and wife, children, and all that we have. Only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us, he simply gives and gives and gives. And beyond the physical stuff of this world, what's more is God sends his son Jesus, who gives the eternal and the spiritual things that we can't necessarily see, but nevertheless are real gifts from God. Things like mercy, where we don't receive the punishment we deserve. Things like grace, where God grants us his love and kindness beyond what we could deserve. He gives us peace. He gives us forgiveness. And in Jesus, he doesn't just give spiritual gifts. In Jesus, he provides for our eternal, physical, resurrected life as we share in his own resurrection. And what's more is God gives his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit gives us the gift of faith that we would hear the Word of God and believe those promises and receive everything that God offers to us. And that Spirit of God brings us together in this moment where we have a visible church. We have saints and people of God around us who can encourage us and strengthen us. And in this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. God gives and gives and gives. And having thus received from God, we give to God. Having thus received from God, we give to God. In grateful response, we throw a bunch of ingredients in the bowl and put it in the oven, ding, and we take God this plastic donut. Now, God's got work to do. He's busy. You know, he's got things to do, maintaining the orbit of the planets and the spinning of the galaxies. He's busy listening to the prayers and daily needs of billions of people. He promises that not one sparrow is going to fall from the heavens apart from His knowledge. God's got a lot going on. He's not lacking things to do, but here's what I can assure you. God's always got time for a donut. And so we come with our little plastic donut. And God's going to keep a serious face for a moment, maybe take a small bite, act like this discerning connoisseur of the delicacy that you brought before Him. Really, when all the while he's just thinking about the heart of His child and the loving relationship that He has. And He takes that pretend bite of that plastic donut. And immediately all the joy that He has over you in Jesus comes pouring out. I love it. Thank you. This is amazing. Thank you. And He loves it. He loves it because He loves you. He loves the gift because He loves you. And He loves you because you're His child, and you're His child because you trust in Jesus, the only Son of God, the unique and forever child of God, through whom you have been brought into the family of God. And so it's through Jesus that we bring our plastic donuts to God, and He loves them. And it's through Jesus that we get to fulfill the offerings and sacrifices that Psalms describe over and over again for us. That Psalm 50 says that the offerings that glorify God are that offering of thanksgiving. And Psalm 51 says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. And so it's through Jesus that we have that Spirit, that we're brought into the family, that we're able to say to God, God, I'm broken. But You can fix me. God, I'm ashamed of my disobedience, but I'm so thankful for Jesus' perfect obedience. God, I know I can't earn Your love, but I trust that You love me anyway through Jesus. God, I know I can't buy Your love, but You've bought my life in Jesus. And so take my life for whatever it's worth. I give You my heart. It's not something to be that excited about. I give You my stains. I give You my scars. I give You the dark areas of my life. I give You my past that I've tried to hide. I give You my shame and my sin. And because You give me Jesus in return, I just want to say thanks. And so I made You this donut. I hope You like it. And He loves it. He loves it. Because He loves you. To which I say, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.